Have you ever been forced to bow to the woman replacing you, unaware that the most powerful man in the room would burn down the world to protect you? Keep watching. You're about to witness a royal feast where silent jealousy turns deadly and a shattered goblet changes a kingdom. In the bitter winter of 1243, the stone walls of Ironhold Castle were unforgiving, but they were nothing compared to the chill in Beatrice Alden's chest. Beatrice was not born to scrub the ash from the great hearths or to carry heavy buckets of icy water from the courtyard well. She was born the daughter of Lord Arthur Alden, the Alpha of the West Fold. But that was before the war. That was before Alpha King Caelan Rothsburg marched his armies across the western plains, absorbing the weaker packs and reducing the defiant lords to ash. Beatrice had survived the siege, but her survival came at the steepest of prices. She was stripped of her title, her pack name, and her dignity, bound to the castle as a lowly servant. For 3 years she had kept her head down, masking her true scent with lavender and lye soap, trying to remain invisible. But invisibility is a luxury denied to those who catch the eye of a king. King Caelan was a terrifying force of nature, standing well over 6 feet, with shoulders broad enough to carry the weight of the 5 territories he ruled with ruthless efficiency. His eyes were the color of a stormy sea, shifting between slate gray and the piercing amber of his inner beast. Whenever he walked through the lower halls, the very air seemed to vibrate with his dominant aura. And every time he passed, Beatrice, that heavy, suffocating aura, spiked. She believed he hated her. Why wouldn't he? She was the daughter of the man who had dared to rebel against his father. Whenever she was assigned to clean the high corridors, Caelan would appear. He would stand in the shadows, his jaw tightly clenched, his eyes tracking her every movement with a dark, unreadable intensity. Beatrice always kept her gaze pinned to the floorboards, terrified that one wrong look would send her to the dungeons. She assumed his looming presence was a constant, cruel reminder of her defeat. She could not have been more wrong. The uneasy routine of Ironhold was shattered on a Tuesday afternoon with the blare of the eastern watch horns. The great iron portcullis was raised, and a massive procession filed into the courtyard. Lady Eleanor of House Carros had arrived. Eleanor was the jewel of the eastern valleys, a pure-blooded wolf of impeccable lineage. With her cascading golden hair, emerald eyes, and gowns spun from the finest silk, she looked every bit the queen she was destined to become. The alliance between the Rothsburgs and House Carros was the most anticipated political maneuver of the decade. Eleanor had not just come to visit. She had come to stake her claim. She was the chosen mate selected by the Council of Elders to bear the king's heirs. From the shadows of the servants' archway, Beatrice watched Eleanor dismount her pristine white stallion. Caelan stood at the top of the stone steps, dressed in a tunic of heavy midnight blue velvet, a direwolf pelt draped over his shoulders. As Eleanor ascended the steps and offered him a flawless curtsy, Beatrice felt a strange, agonizing twist in her stomach. It was an ache she had no right to feel. Caelan was her conqueror, her master, and yet the thought of another woman standing beside him made her inner wolf whimper in distress. "Don't stare, Bea," whispered Martha, the head cook, yanking Beatrice back by the sleeve of her coarse linen dress. "If the new queen catches you gawking, she'll have you whipped. She's known to be cruel to those she deems beneath her." "I wasn't staring," Beatrice lied, her voice barely a breath. Later that evening, the head steward, a strict man named Thomas, gathered the serving staff in the kitchens. The air was thick with the scent of roasting venison, rosemary, and sweet, honeyed wine. "Tonight is the welcome banquet," Thomas announced, pacing before the line of exhausted maids. "You will be flawless. You will be silent. And Beatrice, He stopped, fixing his stern gaze on her. You are to serve the high table. Specifically, you will attend to Lady Eleanor. Beatrice's blood ran cold. Please, Thomas, she begged, quietly stepping forward. I am clumsy. Let me work the kitchens. If I displease her, it is not my command, Beatrice. Thomas sighed, looking genuinely sympathetic. The order came directly from the King's Guard. Captain Henrik delivered the message an hour ago. King Caelan specifically requested you to serve his intended. Beatrice swallowed hard, her heart hammering against her ribs. It was a punishment. Caelan wanted to humiliate her. He wanted to parade the beautiful highborn Eleanor in front of the broken, dirt-smudged daughter of his enemy, forcing Beatrice to pour wine for the woman who would rule the kingdom she was once meant to inherit. Tears pricked the corners of Beatrice's eyes, but she forced them back. She was an Alden. Her pack might be gone, but her pride was not entirely extinguished. She washed her face, tied a clean white apron over her faded dress, and prepared to face her torment. The Great Hall of Ironhold was a spectacle of medieval grandeur. Hundreds of beeswax candles flickered in wrought iron chandeliers, casting a warm golden glow over the long oak tables. Banners bearing the Rothsburg crest, a snarling wolf's head hung from the stone rafters. The hall was packed with lords, commanders, and allied alphas roaring with laughter and tearing into the feast. At the head of the room sat the high table elevated on a wooden dais. King Caelan sat in the center, a heavy crystal goblet of dark red wine in his massive hand. He looked dangerously bored, his jaw set in rigid lines as the lords of House Carros toasted to his health and his future bride. Beside him sat Lady Eleanor, glowing under the candlelight. She was holding court, laughing softly, and placing a delicate hand on Caelan's forearm at every opportunity. Caelan did not pull away, but his muscles were coiled tight beneath his sleeves, and his eyes were scanning the room like a predator, hunting for a specific target. When Beatrice emerged from the kitchen corridors carrying a heavy silver pitcher of spiced wine, Caelan's posture instantly shifted. His broad shoulders stiffened, and his stormy gray eyes locked onto her. Even from across the vast hall, Beatrice felt the sheer weight of his stare. It burned like a brand against her skin. She kept her eyes firmly glued to the floorboards, carefully navigating through the boisterous crowds until she reached the dais. More wine, my lady? Beatrice asked softly, stepping up to Eleanor's side and bowing her head submissively. Eleanor paused her conversation with a nearby lord and turned to look at Beatrice. The aristocratic woman's emerald eyes raked over Beatrice's plain, coarse garments, taking in the faint, faded scar on her cheek, a remnant of the war. Eleanor's lips curled into a sneer of undisguised disgust. So this is the famous Alden girl, Eleanor said, her voice dripping with venom, though kept low enough that only the high table could hear. My father told me your family was a pathetic lot. I see he was right. You smell of wet dog and kitchen grease. Beatrice bit the inside of her cheek until she tasted copper. My apologies, my lady. I will step back, she whispered, moving to withdraw. I didn't tell you to leave Mutt, Eleanor snapped. Pour the wine. Beatrice stepped forward again, her hands trembling slightly, as she tilted the heavy silver pitcher over Eleanor's goblet. The dark red liquid flowed smoothly, but just as the cup was nearly full, Eleanor intentionally shifted her arm. Her elbow struck the pitcher hard. The spiced wine splashed violently, soaking the edge of Eleanor's silk sleeve and cascading onto the wooden table. You stupid, clumsy wretch! Eleanor shrieked, standing up so abruptly her heavy oak chair scraped loudly against the floorboards. The lords nearby went dead silent, turning their attention to the commotion. I am sorry, my lady. My hand slipped. Beatrice stammered, immediately dropping to her knees. She grabbed a linen cloth from her apron and frantically began dabbing at the spilled wine on the floor, her heart racing in sheer panic. This was it. She was going to be thrown in the dungeons. "Sorry is not enough," Eleanor spat, leaning over the table. She looked toward Caelan, her eyes flashing with righteous indignation. "My king, is this how you allow your prisoners to treat your chosen mate? This feral beast has ruined my gown. She belongs in a cage, not in your dining hall." Beatrice squeezed her eyes shut, keeping her head bowed practically to the floor. She waited for Caelan's booming voice. She waited for his command to have her dragged away by the guards. She was so consumed by her own terror and humiliation that she completely missed what was happening directly above her. Caelan had not looked at Eleanor. He had not even glanced at the spilled wine. His eyes now glowing, a bright, terrifying, feral amber, were fixed solely on Eleanor's face. His chest heaved with slow, dangerous breaths. The beast beneath the king's skin was clawing at its cage, violently rejecting the sight of Beatrice, his true, unrecognized mate on her knees, cowering before another woman. When Eleanor called Beatrice a feral beast, a low, guttural growl vibrated in the back of Caelan's throat. It was a sound so dark and primordial that the lord sitting closest to him physically recoiled, the color draining from their faces. Eleanor, blinded by her own arrogance, mistook his growl for anger directed at the servant. "You see," she gloated, looking down at Beatrice's trembling form, "even the king is disgusted by you. Apologize to me properly, you filthy crack." The sound was sharp, explosive, and echoed like a gunshot through the suddenly dead silent great hall. Eleanor let out a sharp gasp, jumping back. Beatrice flinched violently on the floor, her eyes flying open. But she didn't look up at the king's face. She only saw his hand. Caelan's massive fist rested on the edge of the table. The heavy, thick crystal goblet he had been holding a glass, meant to withstand falls onto stone, was completely obliterated. He had squeezed it so hard with such blinding, uncontrollable rage that it had exploded in his grip. Large shards of jagged crystal were embedded in his palm. Thick, dark blood welled up, dripping steadily from his knuckles, pooling onto the white tablecloth, and splashing softly onto the wooden floorboards, mere inches from Beatrice's face. Drip, drip, drip. The hall was so quiet that the sound of his blood hitting the wood was deafening. "Caelan!" Eleanor whispered, her arrogance suddenly replaced by genuine fear as she stared at his bleeding hand. Beatrice stared at the blood, her breath hitching. "He is furious," she thought, panic tightening her throat like a vice. "He is so furious with me for ruining the feast that he crushed his glass." She pressed her forehead practically to the floor, bracing for his wrath. But Caelan didn't yell at Beatrice. He didn't order the guards to take her. Slowly, deliberately, Caelan stood up. He ignored the glass in his hand, ignored the blood dripping down his wrist. He turned his terrifying, glowing amber eyes onto Lady Eleanor. The air pressure in the room dropped instantly heavy with the oppressive weight of a supreme alpha's killing intent. "Speak to her like that again." Caelan's voice was unnaturally calm, a deadly silken whisper that carried through the silent hall. "And I will cut out your tongue." Beatrice froze. Time stopped. Eleanor staggered back, her face turning chalk white. My king," she stammered, looking around wildly for support from her father, Lord Carros, who was sitting frozen in absolute terror, two seats down. She is but a servant. She," Caelan said, his voice dropping an octave deeper, vibrating with absolute authority, "is under my protection. You are a guest in my hall, Eleanor. Do not test my hospitality." He didn't wait for her response. Caelan bypassed the trembling noblewoman and stepped down from the dais, before the entire court, before the lords who had conquered the Westfold, the brutal Alpha King knelt on the floorboards, directly in front of Beatrice. Beatrice gasped softly as Kaelin's large, blood-soaked hand gently gripped her chin. He lifted her face, forcing her to finally look at him. His amber eyes searched hers, the murderous rage instantly melting away into something desperate, possessive, and agonizingly tender. "Are you hurt, Bea?" he murmured, using her private nickname, a name she hadn't heard spoken aloud since her father died. Beatrice could only stare at him, her lips parted in shock, her world completely upended by the shattered glass and the bleeding king kneeling at her feet. The silence in the great hall was absolute, thick enough to choke on. Not a single lord, knight, or servant dared to breathe as Alpha King Kaelin knelt before the trembling kitchen maid. Beatrice stared into his glowing amber eyes, completely paralyzed. The scent of his blood, sharp, metallic, and potent with heavy alpha pheromones, filled her senses, drowning out the rosemary and roasted meat of the banquet. Before she could process his words, Kaelin slid his uninjured arm behind her knees and his bloody hand behind her back. With effortless grace, he stood lifting Beatrice against his broad chest as if she weighed no more than a bundle of dried lavender. "My king," Lord Carros finally found his voice, stepping forward, his face purple with outrage. "What is the meaning of this? You abandon my daughter, your chosen queen, for a..." "Silence." Kaelin didn't yell. He didn't have to. The single word rolled through the stone hall like a physical shockwave, laced with such suffocating dominance that Lord Carros immediately choked on his own breath and dropped his gaze to the floorboards. "The banquet is over," Kaelin commanded, turning his back on the high table. "Anyone who speaks a word against what has happened tonight will lose their tongue. Eleanor, pack your trunks. You ride back to the Eastern Valleys at first light." Without waiting for the ensuing chaos, Kaelin strode out of the great hall, carrying Beatrice up the sweeping spiral staircases toward the royal wing. Beatrice lay rigid in his arms, her heart hammering frantically against her ribs. She was terrified, yet beneath the fear, her inner wolf was purring, entirely intoxicated by his proximity and his protection. He carried her into his private chambers, a massive room dominated by a roaring hearth and a colossal four-poster bed draped in dark furs. He set her down gently on a velvet settee, then moved to a silver basin to wash the blood and glass from his shredded palm. Because of his accelerated werewolf healing, the cuts were already knitting together, but the jagged crystal shards still needed to be pulled from his flesh. "Why?" Beatrice finally whispered, her voice cracking. She hugged her knees to her chest, her coarse apron stained with his blood. "Why are you doing this? You hate me. You destroyed my family." Kaelin froze. He dropped a bloody shard of glass into the basin with a sharp clink. When he turned back to her, the feral amber had receded from his eyes, leaving a stormy, tormented grey. "Hate you." He let out a dark, humorless laugh, walking slowly toward her, until he was towering over the settee. He dropped to his knees again, bringing himself to her eye level. "Beatrice, I have spent the last 3 years in absolute agony, watching you scrub floors, forcing myself to walk past you, without dragging you into my arms." Beatrice shook her head, tears finally spilling over her lashes. "You lie. You conquered the Westfold. You killed my father, Lord Arthur. You stripped me of my title." "I killed your father," Kaelin said, his voice dropping to a harsh, ragged whisper. "Because he sold you." Beatrice's breath hitched. "What? Did you think I marched my armies west for land, for power?" Kaelin reached out his warm, rough fingers, gently brushing a tear from her scarred cheek. 4 years ago, your father's pack was heavily in debt. To save his own skin, he brokered a secret pact with Lord William Cromwell. Beatrice's blood ran colder than ice. Even cloistered in the Westfold, she knew that name. Lord William Cromwell was a notoriously sadistic and corrupt alpha from the unregulated northern borders, a man who traded in illicit bloodlines and kept a harem of broken, enslaved she-wolves. He was a monster whispered about only in nightmares. Your father signed the contract, B. Kaelin continued, his jaw tightening at the memory. Cromwell's men were 3 days away from your gates to collect you as his breeding slave. The only way to invalidate a pack blood contract is if the alpha who signed it is dead and the territory is absorbed by a higher power. I didn't conquer the Westfold to destroy your life. I did it to save you from a fate worse than death. But why the dungeons? She sobbed, struggling to comprehend the massive web of lies she had lived in. Why make me a servant? Why let me suffer for 3 years? Because Cromwell's assassins were crawling through my kingdom, looking for the missing princess of the Westfold. Kaelin explained fiercely, his hands gripping her shoulders. They expected a noblewoman in silk. They did not look twice at a dirt-smudged servant girl, masking her scent with lye soap. It was the only way to keep you completely hidden while I systematically hunted down and slaughtered Cromwell's syndicate. I only finished dismantling his network last month. Beatrice stared at him, her entire reality fracturing and rebuilding itself in the span of seconds. The tyrant who had haunted her nightmares was the very man who had kept her alive. And Eleanor? Beatrice asked, her voice trembling. She is your chosen mate. She is the council's choice, a political pawn they tried to force upon me. Kaelin snarled softly, leaning in until his forehead rested against hers. But a king does not choose his mate, Beatrice. The moon goddess does. And she chose you for me the moment I first laid eyes on you 4 years ago. The dawn broke over Ironhold Castle, not with the gentle warmth of morning, but with the suffocating tension of a drawn bowstring. The fortress was a powder keg, the air thick with the metallic tang of unsheathed swords and the sour scent of anxious sweat. Word of the Alpha King's unprecedented public rejection of Lady Eleanor had swept through the stone corridors like a wildfire in dry brush. Down in the sprawling courtyard, Lord Carros, his face mottled with purple rage, had rallied his personal Eastern Guard. The clatter of their steel boots and the aggressive snarls of their half-shifted wolves drifted up to the highest towers, threatening to plunge the five fragile territories back into a bloody civil war. High above the chaos within the sanctum of the royal chambers, Kaelin stood motionless by the arched window, looking down at the angry mob. He was clad in his full battle armor, plates of darkened steel, layered over heavy wolf-pelted leather, looking every inch the lethal apex predator who had conquered a continent. His jaw was set, his massive hands resting easily on the hilt of his broad sword. He was fully prepared to slaughter every man in the courtyard if they dared to take a single step toward his mate. He turned slowly, as the heavy oak dressing screen shifted. When Beatrice stepped into the morning light, all the air violently left Kaelin's lungs. Gone were the coarse, ash-stained linens. Gone was the faded, oversized apron that had hidden her curves for 3 agonizing years. Kaelin had roused the royal seamstresses at midnight under penalty of death, and their panicked labor had yielded a masterpiece. Beatrice was draped in a breathtaking, sweeping gown of deep sapphire velvet, intricately embroidered with silver thread that mirrored the constellations of the night sky. Her dark hair finally washed free of kitchen grease, and lye was pinned back with a net of silver pearls, allowing her natural curls to cascade down her spine. But it was not just the regal garments that had transformed her. It was the fundamental shift in her posture. The cowering broken servant was dead. Standing before the Alpha King was the true, undeniable heir of the Westfold. Her chin was held high, her shoulders pulled back, and her hazel eyes burned with a newfound, mesmerizing clarity. "Are you ready?" Kaelin asked softly, his voice thick with reverence, as he crossed the vast room to offer her his armored arm. Beatrice looked at the man who had burned down her world, only to secretly build a fortress around her. She placed her delicate hand securely over the cold steel of his vambrace. "Let them come." When the massive iron-reinforced doors of the throne room were thrown open, the chaotic murmurs of the gathered council and the furious shouts of the Eastern Lords died in an instant. Kaelin marched down the center aisle, his presence radiating a lethal, suffocating dominance that forced the weaker nobles to lower their eyes. But the collective gaze of the court was undeniably glued to the woman walking proudly beside him. "King Kaelin!" Lord Carros bellowed, stepping directly into the center of the dais, his hand resting aggressively on his sword. Beside him stood a representative of the High Court Elder Gideon, looking profoundly grim. Eleanor hovered behind her father, weeping loudly into a silk handkerchief, playing the ultimate tragic victim. "You have deeply insulted House Carros. The Council of Elders decreed that Eleanor is your rightful queen. You cannot throw away the Eastern Alliance. You cannot risk tearing this kingdom apart for a ruined, filthy beggar woman." Kaelin did not stop walking until he reached the steps of the throne. He turned, pulling Beatrice flush against his armored side, shielding her with his body. "You dare speak to me of alliances?" "Carros!" Kaelin's voice boomed a terrifying, guttural roar that rattled the banners hanging from the rafters. "You hide behind the council's decrees, yet you forget the most ancient, fundamental law of our kind. The council may suggest, the council may advise, but only the Alpha King claims." Kaelin raised Beatrice's hand, pressing a fierce kiss to her knuckles before the shocked assembly. "And I claim Beatrice last of the Alden bloodline as my fated mate, my equal, and the absolute, unquestionable queen of Ironhold. Any man who disputes this will answer to my blade." The great hall erupted into frantic, panicked gasps. "She is nothing!" Eleanor shrieked, suddenly dropping her handkerchief. Her mask of sorrow melted away, replaced by an ugly, venomous sneer. She pushed past her father, pointing a trembling finger at Beatrice. "She has no pack. Her bloodline is dust. Look at her. She is a weak, submissive wretch who scrubbed our boots. She does not even have a wolf." As Eleanor screamed the vile insult, something deep inside Beatrice's soul violently snapped. For 3 brutal years, she had suppressed her very nature, burying her inner wolf under layers of terror and submission just to survive Cromwell's hunters. But standing beside Kaelin, fueled by the staggering truth of his sacrifice and the intoxicating primal hum of their mating bond, the mental iron chains she had forged finally shattered. Beatrice stepped forward, slipping out of Kaelin's protective hold. She did not lower her gaze. She locked eyes directly with Eleanor. Suddenly, the faint, artificial scent of lavender that had masked Beatrice for years completely vanished. In an instant, the great hall was flooded with an overwhelming, intoxicating wave of petrichor wild winter pine and raw, unadulterated alpha dominance. The scent was so physically heavy that the guards stationed at the doors actually swayed on their feet. Beatrice's eyes flared, shifting rapidly from their normal hazel to a blinding, luminescent, terrifying gold. A collective gasp, followed by the clatter of armored knees hitting the floorboards, echoed through the room. It was the legendary mark of a true Luna, an ancient, fiercely powerful female bloodline trait that had not manifested in the 5 territories for over 2 centuries. I am Beatrice Alden, she spoke. Her voice was no longer a quiet whisper. It was laced with a terrifying dual-toned resonance, the undeniable overlap of her human vocal cords and her massively powerful newly awakened wolf. And if you ever insult my king or disrespect my pack again, I will not wait for him to cut out your tongue. I will tear out your throat with my own teeth. Eleanor staggered backward, as if she had been struck in the chest with a warhammer. Her legs gave out entirely, and she collapsed onto the hard floorboards, openly whimpering, as her own wolf instinctively and forcefully submitted to the crushing pressure of Beatrice's lunar aura. Beside her, even Lord Carros took a hasty, trembling step back. The color drained completely from his face, and his hand fell limply away from his sword. Caelan stepped up behind Beatrice, a devastatingly proud, feral smirk playing on his lips. He wrapped his heavy arms around her waist, pulling her back against his chest. As their skin touched, a visible, blinding ripple of golden energy washed over them, blowing through the hall, the physical, magical manifestation of a completed, unbreakable mate bond. Are there any further objections from House Carros? Caelan asked softly, his glowing amber eyes sweeping over the terrified kneeling lords. He looked toward the elders, or from the council. Absolute breathless silence reigned supreme. Good, Caelan murmured into the quiet hall. He looked down at Beatrice, the ruthless warrior king, instantly melting into a fiercely devoted lover. He tilted her chin up, and in front of the entire bowing court, captured her lips in a bruising, passionate kiss that sealed their eternal reign. The woman they had forced to scrub their floors in the shadows was now the true queen they would be forced to bow to for the rest of their lives. Did Beatrice's ultimate revenge and her breathtaking transformation give you chills if you loved watching the Alpha King shatter his own world just to protect the woman he was fated to love, hit that like button right now. Don't forget to share this epic tale of betrayal, secret sacrifices, and royal romance with your friends. Subscribe to our channel and turn on notifications so you never miss another heart-stopping werewolf drama.